This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
Choosing the right crop insurance for your farming operation can be challenging. At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, our professionals know crop insurance and can explain the different coverage options available. Farm Credit can provide the latest information on new crop insurance policy combinations, along with recent changes to the Federal Crop Insurance Program guidelines. Information that helps you choose the best coverage plan for your farming operation. Whether it's a yield or revenue coverage policy or the new total weather insurance program, Farm Credit provides you the latest coverage information, product knowledge, and exceptional customer service, all delivered to you conveniently with our on-farm service. Call us today at 800-444-FARM for the crop insurance coverage to meet your risk management demands. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too. Remember, 800-444-FARM. At Farm Credit, we understand.
Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer in Litchfield, is your one-stop shop for equipment, Firestone truck and passenger tires, wheel alignments, shocks, struts, suspension, and steering repairs. Mike Taylor and the experienced staff will diagnose the problem and make the necessary repairs using quality chassis parts. Plus, Taylor Tire and Auto can complete the job with an accurate wheel alignment to original factory specifications. Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer at the west end of Tyler Street in Litchfield.
The DTN general opening call for this morning, corn expected to open about a nickel higher, beans 6 to 8 higher, and wheat also about a nickel higher. The overnight crude oil market, 42 cents higher at 102.23, Brent crude 44 cents higher at 113.18. The February gold contract, $2.80 higher at 16.22.90, while the U.S. dollar index 0.044 lower at 80.892. Grains and the soybean complex on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday down across the board. March wheat closed at 6.29 1/4, down 2. May wheat closed at 6.48 1/2. That was down 1. July wheat closed at 6.64 3/4. That was down 19 1/4. May wheat once again 6.48 1/2. That was down 19 1/2. March corn on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 6.43 1/2, down 15. May corn closed at 6.51 1/2, down 15 1/4. July corn closed at 6.57 1/4. That was down 15 3/4. January soybeans on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 12.01 1/4, down 20 1/4. March beans closed at 12.09, that was down 21 cents. May beans closed at 12.18 3/4, down 20 3/4. January soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 3.10.30, down 72 cents. March meal closed at 3.13.20, down 74. May meal closed at 3.15.80, down 70 cents. January soybean oil on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 51.77, down 96. March oil closed at 52.06, down 97. And May oil closed at 52.42, down 98. March oats on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 2.90, down 3 cents. May oats closed at 2.94 3/4, down 3 1/4. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
This is Kent McFarland with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Grain Market News Report. Illinois country grain prices were sharply lower on Thursday afternoon. Technical and fund selling at the Board of Trade drove prices lower. Central Illinois grain deals quoted their corn bids 14 to 16 cents lower at 626 to 641. Soybeans were down 19 to 22 cents at 1174 to 1187. Corn bids in southern Illinois were down 15 to 19 cents at 629 to 650. Soybeans off 18 to 20 cents at 1182 to 1202. And wheat was mostly 20 to 21 cents lower at 609 to 629. St. Louis area elevators and mills reported their corn bids 13 to 15 cents lower at 629 to 642. Soybeans were 19 to 23 cents lower at 1185 to 1190. Wheat closed down 20 to 21 cents. That's 619 to 621. River barge loading elevators, that's all. Only river barge loading elevators. Their producer corn bids 12 to 15 cents lower at 640 to 646. Soybeans were 18 to 22 cents lower at 1202 to 1209. New crop wheat prices were down 19 cents at 620 to 630. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 14 cents lower at 655 to 657. These elevators dropped their soybean prices 12 to 20 cents with quotations at 1222 to 1223. Wheat closed 22 cents lower at 640 to 641, and Milo was down 16 cents at 642 to 643. In the biweekly Illinois production cost report, anhydrous ammonia was offered at 825 to 898, averaging 860.07. That's $7 a ton lower. 46.00 urea, 508 to 590, averaging 538.29, $1.38 a ton lower. 28% liquid nitrogen, 374 to 395, averaging 386.89, down $1.49. Diammonium phosphate at 625 to 715, averaging 679.46, $13.54 lower. Diammonium phosphate at 635 to 640, averaging 699, down $10. And potash at 610 to 690, averaging 641, $1.86 lower. Farm diesel fuel delivered to the farm in 1,000-gallon quantities at 315 to 348, averaging 355. That's 11 cents per gallon lower. This is Kent McFarland reporting for WSMI.
February hogs on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 83.85, down $1.32. April hogs closed at 87.12, down 62 cents. May hogs closed at 94.25, down 70 cents. February cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 120.95, down 67. April cattle closed at 124.90, down 60. June cattle closed at 124.52, down 85 cents. January feeder cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 147.87, up 12 cents. March feeders closed at 150.85, up 30, and April feeders closed at 151.92. That was up 32. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
Today, January 5th, for the Eastern Corn Belt, daily direct hogs, barrels and gills closed $1.76 higher. Carcass-based price range, 79.14 to 84, weighted average 80.32. Hogs purchased Illinois today, 11,200. Illinois direct brown gilt trade steady to firm, 53 to 58, a few up to 60. Illinois direct slaughter sales steady to firm. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 450 pounds at 43 to 49. 450 to 550 pounds at 45 to 50. Over 550 pounds at 48 to 51. Today's estimated receipt, 725. Wednesday's actuals, 1,475. Pork carcass cutout, 84.33, and that is down 38 cents. Estimated daily livestock slaughter into federal inspection, hogs today, 428,000. Last week, 431,000. A year ago, 417,000. Week to date of 1,294,000. Cattle today, 132,000. A week ago and a year ago, both 129,000. And week to date of 401,000. Box beef cutout values were sharply lower on choice and week on select, with moderate demand and moderate heavy offerings. Total movement today, 210 fab loads and 87 trim. Choice, 191.30. That is down $2.56. Select at 179.81, and that is down 33 cents. At the Schuyler Livestock Auction at Rushville, 437 head sold. Trade was active with very good demand. No market comparison available, has not been covered for the past 2 weeks. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s at 124.70 to 128 and a quarter. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s at 123.75 to 127.85. Slaughter cows, breaking type, 66 and a quarter to 70 and a quarter. Boning type cows at 56.5 to 61.5. And slaughter bulls, your grade ones, at 75 to 77. At the Greenville Livestock Auction, 528 head sold yesterday compared to last week. Slaughter steers never sold 1 to 1.5 higher. Holstein steers steady. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s at 125 to 128.5. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s at 114 to 120. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s at 125 to 130.5. Slaughter cows, boning type 64.5 to 70. Lean cows at 56 to 63.5. And slaughter bulls, your grade 1s at 78 to 84.5. at the Real Hay Auction on Wednesday. 1,379 bales sold, or 52.37 tons, compared to last week. Small squares of hay traded mostly steady, with instances of one to two lower for premium alfalfa and alfalfa orchard grass mixes. Wheat straw was mostly steady. Alfalfa premium quality small squares at $5.25 to $6, with good quality at $4 to $4.75. Alfalfa orchard grass mix premium quality small squares, 6 to 6.25, with good quality at 4.5. Alfalfa mixed grass, premium quality small squares from 6 to 6.75, good quality at 4.75. Orchard grass, good quality $4 to $5. Oat hay, good quality large rounds at 25. Mixed grass, good quality small squares from 4 to 5.25, large rounds at 50 to 65. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock and Grain Market News Service, returning you back to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, Class 3 milk for January closed at $17.19, up a dime. February milk at $17.69, up 29 cents. March milk at $17.76, up 32 cents. January butter closed at $1.61, unchanged. February butter at $1.66, up 1. And March butter at $1.66, that was up a quarter. Non-fat dry milk for the months of January, February, and March all closed at $1.40, which was unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk, $18.77. For butter, $1.60.5. And for non-fat dry milk, $1.45. Wrapping up part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Friday morning, we'll have the numbers from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for January, 643. For February, 647. Corn delivered to Scottville for January, 635. For February, 639. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for January, 1186. And for February, 1186. Wheat delivered to Scottville for January 602. You can call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 368-2888 to confirm the bids or for more information. Once again, the phone number, 368-2888. The pre-opening prices, corn at Greenfield, $6.43, corn at Scottville, $6.35, beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $11.86, wheat at Scottville, $6.02. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Friday morning, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue in Litchfield. It's 20 minutes after the hour of 6. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
It's time to think about your lawn and what you can do to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood. M&M Service Company carries a full line of green yard, lawn fertilizer, seed, and chemicals. They will come out and give you a free estimate for lawn care applications and treatments. Talk to Tim Rothy, turf specialist at M&M Service Company, for a seed, fertilizer, and chemical program for your lawn. Call him at 1-800-962-7331. M&M Service, the local solution to your world of needs.
Sunny skies today, high temperatures in the low 60s and southwest winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Clear skies for tonight, low temperatures in the mid-30s, and for tomorrow, Saturday, sunny and cooler, high temperatures in the upper 40s. Your extended forecast for Sunday through Tuesday, becoming cloudy Sunday and Sunday night, partly cloudy skies Monday and Tuesday. Low temperatures in the low 30s, highs in the mid-40s. Right now at the Weather Center, south winds at 8 miles per hour, the barometric pressure steady, our temperature 38 degrees. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
Owning an RV is like owning an instant vacation. Diamond Trailer Sales can show you how to take advantage of every one of those precious days off. Diamond Trailer Sales offers 9 lines of travel trailers and fifth wheels from Keystone, the number one manufacturer in the USA. They're number one because of their quality and price. Diamond Trailer's RV store has one of the area's largest selections of parts and accessories, perfect for gifts. Plus, right now, get great discounts on remaining 2011 models. Diamond Trailer Sales, 1117 North Old Route 66 in Litchfield.
This is Steve at Diamond Trailer Sales. I invite you to stop by and see how affordable and fun RVing can be.
At 6:22, part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by the Taylor and Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive, by the Litchfield National Bank, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro. First of all, in our farm news, the results from the auction yesterday at the Greenville Livestock Auction compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold a dollar to a dollar and a half higher. Slaughter Holstein steers traded steady. Feeder cattle sold about $5 to $10 higher. No market comparison on slaughter cows and slaughter bulls. They were not reported last week, but very strong trading noted in both. Slaughter steers accounted for about 9% of the total run yesterday. Slaughter Holstein steers about 10%. Slaughter heifers about 5%. Slaughter cows about 28%. Slaughter bulls 4%. And bred cows and cow-calf pairs about 5%. And feeder cattle about 39% of the total run. And in that feeder supply, steers were about 18% of the total. Holstein steers about 7%. Heifers 44%. Bulls 31%. And feeder calves over 600 pounds made up about 24% of the total run at the Greenville Livestock Auction on Thursday. Compared to last week, slaughter lambs traded steady to $4 higher. Slaughter ewes sold $12 to $14 higher. Feeder lambs, feeder kids, and slaughter kids not tested. Slaughter nannies lightly tested, and slaughter lambs accounted for about half of the run. Slaughter ewes 17%, slaughter nannies 3%, and other goats about 30%, and all goats based on actual weights on a per hundred basis. Some other farm news this morning. The Macoupin County 4-H Federation is pleased to announce that Pioneer Hybrid has donated $750 toward their shooting sports program. The grant originated with a request from Tony Herman, the Pioneer production manager at Litchfield, through the Pioneer Community Investment. The funds will be directed toward the shooting sports program to help purchase supplies and equipment to set up a target range as an organized youth development and educational program. Land sales firms say the cost of farmland in central Illinois increased by about a third in 2011. That continues the trend of increasing cropland values over the past few years. Dale Opperly is president of the Heartland Ag Group in Decatur. He says that the average price of land in the 15 counties around Decatur rose from $8,000 an acre in 2010 to about $10,500 last year. Opperly said continued high prices for corn and soybeans and investor demand are driving the trend. University of Illinois farm economist Gary Schnitke thinks increases in both crop and farmland prices will ease this year. And a farmland auction this month could be an early test of prices for 2012. About 1,700 acres of farm and recreational land will be up for sale in Mason City on the 16th. Prices have been shooting up over the past two decades, setting another record last year, and forecasters expect prices to rise again. A recent report from Purdue University projected pork production to increase about 2.5% from last year. We talked to local producer Phil Borgic, who farms between Nokomis and Raymond and raises pigs from farrow to wean and farrow to finish. He said that over the years, the industry has really improved the number of pigs per litter.
We're halfway between Nokomis and Raymond. We have a farrow to wean operation here at, in Nokomis, and then we raise some of our pigs out to market weight, and then we sell some as 14-pounders, so a little bit of diversification.
Okay, now I've got this report that from Purdue University that pork production overall is expected to rise by as much as 2.5% over 2012, but they attribute that to more pigs per litter rather than more farrowings. What do you think?
Well, over the last 15 years, our industry has made dramatic improvements as far as the number of pigs that we farrow and raise per sow, and we have been able to increase that the last 10 years at 1.5% improvement each year. And so that's very realistic as far as the projections. And also we're raising our harvested animals to heavier weights, so that also yields in more pork per pig.
That is amazing to me. That I know you market pigs now at about 240 to 260 pounds, correct?
Actually, 260 to 290, getting them very large. That's what our customer, the packer, is wanting, and so that's how we've adjusted our weights in the match.
Does that affect, will that affect like your feed costs and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. We have to feed them an extra 2 weeks, And so then that's more corn and soybean meal that we use then to get them up to those weights.
Well, you know, I think that kind of says something about the breeding of those animals, too, is it only takes you 2 weeks to go from, say, a 220 to 240-pound hog up to 290.
Our pigs will gain about 2 pounds, 2 pounds per day. Each day we leave them on feed at that weight. And so, yes, we can put them on there pretty rapidly.
Boy, that is just amazing. Now, do you have a certain breed on the place?
We use PIC, which is Pig Improvement Company breeding stock, and we've been with them since the 80s, and they're an animal that can go to those heavy weights very efficiently.
Boy, that's absolutely amazing. So what about the prices for the coming year?
Right now they look good in relationship to feed cost. Our primary cost, over 60% of our cost is feed, and so that has more to do with profitability than anything from the cost side. But from the revenue side, demand's good. Poultry production is going to be about 5% lower, at least the beginning of the year. And then cattle, because of the droughts in the Southwest, that herd is continuing to drop. And so there'll be less cattle, or at least less beef available. And our exports on the pork side have been very good with the new entry again of China and then our other partners being continued to import pork. So right now it looks profitable for the 2012 period.
The Corn and Soybean Classics will be held soon, and with more on that, we'll join Rita Frazier from the Illinois Farm Bureau.
For WSMI, I'm Rita Frazier with more news on the University of Illinois Corn and Soybean Classic starting next week in Mount Vernon. Aaron Hager, Associate Professor of Wheat Science, has more.
We'll start out on January 10th. We'll be in Mount Vernon at the Holiday Inn. We'll be in Springfield at the Crown Plaza on January 11th. And then we'll round out our first week of classics here in Champaign on January 12th. And then the following week, we'll begin on the 16th, which is Monday, and we'll be in Bloomington at the Doubletree Hotel. The 17th will find us at Kishwaukee College in Malta. On the 18th of January, we'll be at the Iowa Wireless Center in Moline. And then our last one this year will be in Quincy on January 19th, which is a Thursday, and that'll be at the Holiday Inn. There's a good mix in the program that we have this year. For example, we'll have Dr. Richard Cook from Department of Ag and Biological Engineering, who's going to talk about some of the new developments in drainage. Relevant, a very important topic and issue, given the fact that for the last several springs, we've had quite a bit of problems trying to get the crop established with all the spring rain. Of course, Gary Schnitke from the Department of Ag and Consumer Economics, he will really go in and delve into some of the effects of crop rotation and how that could really affect the profitability of a farmer's particular operation. Carl Bradley, our extension plant pathologist here in the department, will cover actually several different plant diseases this year. 2011 saw quite a bit of gosses wilt around the state, which he'll cover that as well as some of the other types of diseases in corn. And then Dr. Emerson Nafziger will talk about continuous corn.
You are on the program, as we've talked with you many times, about weed resistance, the issue of resistance, and you're going to have some interesting information on a booger of a weed, a new one that producers may be on the watch for this coming growing season.
We're going to share with our weed science discussion about a new species. I guess we'll call it new. Unfortunately, I hope we never see it to a great extent any more than where it is now in Illinois, but we're a bit concerned that we're going to. And that's Palmer amaranth. And that's another one of the pigweed species that it is present here in Illinois, and about a year and a half ago it was confirmed that at least one, if not more, populations are glyphosate resistant. So this is something that certainly are aware of. The fact that it's here, we really don't want to see this thing spread around the state like water hemp has, but we're going to be hopefully a little bit early in bringing this particular species to folks' attention, go into quite a bit about its identification, its biology, its competitive ability, and then as well as what can we do to try to manage this species so that it doesn't really give us some of the problems and consternations that it has given farmers in the Mid-South and the Southeastern U.S.
Producers can register on-site for classics or online at cropsciconferences.com. For RFD Illinois and WSMI, I'm Rita Frazier.
Thank you, Rita. And in other farm news, the United States is the world's largest producer and exporter of corn and soybeans, and as a result, the size of the crops in the United States has a substantial impact on price. During the planting and growing season, market participants form expectations about the potential size of these crops from a variety of public and private sources of information, including NASS. Todd Gleason files this report on some of the myths and misunderstandings about how the National Agricultural Statistics Service of the U.S. Department of Agriculture gathers this information.
USDA reports seem to be grossly misunderstood, thanks to University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good. It and NASS, the National Agricultural Statistics Service, get a bad rap for no particularly good reason when the numbers for the prospective plantings, the crop production, and the June acreage reports are released. This, says Daryl Good, is because most people have not taken the time to read the methods behind the numbers.
And it appeared to us a lot of people didn't understand how they do that, even though they've documented in detail their methodology. People don't tend to read that. And secondly, some people believe that USDA has a kind of a hidden agenda or a motive for the numbers that they actually publish. So our idea was to review their methodology and then try to present that in a brief layman's term so that users of the data could have a better understanding of how the numbers are put together.
Well, the summer numbers are most problematic, says Daryl Good, because most people don't understand two statistical methods are used to gather up the information.
One, where they actually survey producers directly and ask them their acreage intentions or actual plantings, in the case of the June report. And then for the monthly yield estimates, they survey farmers and ask them directly, what do you expect your average yield to be this year? But also for those final two reports, the June acreage and the yield estimates, USDA actually has what they call an area frame sample, where they determine before the season starts specific segments of agricultural land throughout the major producing states. And they actually go to those segments each month during the forecast cycle and take measurements of crops that are there and use that data to forecast yield and acreage as well.
It is the combination of those two survey methods that make up each report estimate for the June acreage survey and the monthly crop production reports.
Prospective plantings report does not involve an area frame sample. That is what they call a list frame survey, where they just send questionnaires to farmers directly. There is no field observation on that because it is intentions. There's really nothing to look at that point when the data is collected for the March prospective plantings report.
USDA surveys more than 80,000 producers to gather information on what they expect their crop mix by acre will be for each season. Here's one of the big myths about the USDA numbers. The reports are rigged to meet governmental goals. It is simply not possible, says Daryl Good.
Absolutely not. I think what you would see looking at their methodology is it's a very statistically sound methodology, very objective methodology. And you know, even if there was some agenda to shade the numbers one way or another, at the end of the day, that bias or that motivation would be uncovered.
The USDA surveys are objective, and because two types of sampling are done during the growing season, those numbers benefit from a composite data estimate. That means the two surveys are done simultaneously to get at the same number. What shortcomings there are in the yield forecast, says Daryl Good, are inherent to the season and really cannot be overcome. He says the relationship between early season estimates and the lack of hard data points, number of corn ears per acre and soybean pods per plant, is not constant as it relates to yield. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Once again, the DTN early word, corn futures expected to open about a nickel higher, beans about 6 to 8 higher, and wheat once again about a nickel higher. The overnight crude oil market, 42 cents higher at 102.23, Brent crude, 44 cents higher at 113.18, and the February gold contract, $2.80 higher at $16.22.90. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Litchfield National Bank, by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, and by the Taylor & Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop from Mount Olive. Reporting, I'm Randy Prangy.